All right, we are recording. I'm not even going to do an intro. You know what? Yeah, you know what? I am going to do an intro. Hi. No. Yeah, man. Here we go. Retired Monster Podcast video. First video episode. Well, actually, this is going to be the second video episode. First guest on my new video format for YouTube. And it happens to be my good buddy, Wyatt Turner of Wyatt's Metal. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you doing? I hope you are as recovering like I am from yesterday's show.
Yeah, I'm definitely tired. We are going to go over what happened last night, and also we're going to go over another festival that we were at, which was 2 weeks ago now? 3 weeks ago?
I have no idea.
2 weeks ago? Let me see.
Entire year flies by. I swear 4 weeks ago is Christmas, so I don't know.
Can you look that up, Jamie? That was...
You know what day it is? Jamie, pull that up.
Almost a month ago. That's how long ago that was. Anyway, yeah, it was on the weekend of May 16th through the 20th.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was 4 weeks would be the 13th, which is this coming up Thursday that we were in Milwaukee. Man, I did not think it was already a month ago. That is crazy.
Time flies by. Also, James, it's pronounced Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, or Algonquin for the good land.
Yeah, it's been a quick, busy year so far.
Yeah, dude, this year is definitely flying by. It's already June 9th. That's crazy, man. Like, yes. I feel like my birthday was just yesterday. Now it's like a little over 2 months away, and I'm already going to be 37, and holy shit.
Holy shit.
I know, man. I know.
Man, I didn't even want to say this before I have to trim this out. Either yesterday, I think, I honestly was trying to remember what age I was. I was like, am I 32 or 33? I can't fucking remember.
Dude, I get tripped up at the store all the time because it sounds like, I mean, I don't look like I'm 21 or anywhere near 21. I know that for a fact. Yeah. Like if my beard wasn't here, maybe I could pull off being younger, but there's just no way. I have gray in my beard. It's like, bro, I got age on me. You know, I'm older.
I'm old, yeah.
I'm older than 21 for sure.
Pass your ID, you point your gray hair.
Yeah. As I choke on my own spit. No, funny enough, so I get tripped up when people ask that. Like, I show that before I pull my ID out, that, like, it'll be like a grocery store, and they'll be like, how old are you? And I'm like, doing that because I'm like trying to sneak in that I'm not 21 yet. It's yeah. Because I don't remember. I'm like, oh shit. I'm 35? No, 36.
Yeah. Like, I don't think about it often. Like, once you're 21, it doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, that's the truth right there. Like, seriously, once you're 21, it's kind of like, all right, you got until you're 40. That's the next milestone, if you will.
You made it in. It doesn't matter anymore.
Actually, 21, you got 21, and now the dirty 30, and then when you're 40. But the dirty 30 was years ago for me at this point.
Yeah.
But
just speaking, like, I was just like, just like everyone yesterday and this weekend, we're all old now.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of being old, so, and going back to us talking about Milwaukee, we were both now almost a month ago, which is crazy, at Milwaukee Metal Fest, which is now arguably my favorite metal fest. One of my favorite festivals now that I've been to. I put it up there with 70K and also with that year of Cycle that was at the Mandalay Bay.
Oh yeah, that was fucking awesome.
That was an incredible year, being able to see Cannibal Corpse in a pool, moshing in a pool. Man, that was so fun.
I was thinking that when we were watching Power Trip yesterday. I think the last time I saw them was when they played the pool at Mandalay Bay.
Did they play that year? Or
no, it was a different year. I think that was the year before Cannibal played.
Yeah, and I didn't go. That was the first year we went, was that year that we were we all went. And that was your first year I went, but I wanted to go. And that was like, we're bouncing around here, but yeah, I had always wanted to see Power Trip and I never got to, and I'm sad because like
right. Oh, you died. Never did?
I never did.
Oh,
I
got shit.
I got into Power Trip later. So it sucks because Power Trip was one of those bands that just kind of flew under the radar for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't listen to them until way later. And I was like, fuck, man. Like, where was I when this band came out? Like, why was I not listening to
you?
No, I wasn't.
You're a fun hater.
I mean, that's true. But, like, they're a thrash band, and I love thrash. So I'm like, it was just a weird situation where I just didn't listen to them until later. I mean, the same thing happened with me with Typo Negative. I got into Typo Negative like way, way too late. And then Peter Steele died. And I'm like, fuck, man. Like, why did I get into this band like so much later than when they were like playing all the damn time?
Yeah, there's some bands like that. It just flies under your radar. Yeah, so yesterday was your first time seeing Power Trip.
First time seeing Power Trip, yeah. And they were, I mean, I watched tons of YouTube videos of Riley and them before. But to me, at least, this is, I have no frame of reference for seeing them before, but to me, they sounded amazing. So
I thought they were great. My only complaint, honestly, isn't really with them. It was more, I just wish the vocalist was a bit louder. And I don't even think it was an issue with his vocal ability. I think just the sound, like, should have been up a bit.
So... again, we're bouncing around here. We're talking about No Values, which we both went to last night, but it's okay. This is a podcast. We can do what we want. I noticed that a lot of the stages were either the vocalist was too quiet or they were overpowering. And that makes me so mad at shows. And I'm like, and I'm saying this knowing that I'm not a sound engineer. So all sound engineers are going to listen to this. I'm sorry, but do your fucking job.
You have an important job and you'd fucking do it right.
Okay. There's so many shows where I go to where it's like that. Like, dude, when Misfits started, you couldn't hear Danzig at all.
Yeah, you couldn't at all.
And I was telling Nat that. I was like, you don't hear that? And she's like, what? I was like, I can't hear him. He's like so quiet. And then I think when they finally got to I Turned Into a Martian, or I mean, that might have been the second song, I don't recall, but it finally started coming in clearer, and then it got better as the time went on. And I understand that there's a lot of like shit they gotta do like on the fly to make things better. But that's like, I don't know. I feel that should be something that doesn't happen right from the jump with sound check. I don't know. That's just my opinion on it. Again, I'm ignorant. I don't do this. I'm not a sound engineer. So don't come after me for that. I'm just saying.
All I'm saying is do your fucking job.
I mean, make people sound good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. Yeah, you don't know if like some issue happened that couldn't be figured out or someone's a fucking idiot or what they're doing. But I definitely noticed yesterday it was kind of going in waves with the sound. Like for bands like Bad Religion, it'd be like it was like catching with the wind.
We saw a little bit of Social D. Like I wanted to see them, but there was so many fucking people at that point, that we were in the very back and we caught, like, I'm glad because I caught like a few of my favorite songs, like their old school shit. And then that was it. And then we left. I was like, all right, let's go see Steve Ingrid. Cause like seeing Steve Ingrid, I've seen, counting yesterday, that's my 15th time seeing Social D. So I'm like, I'm good.
I think you're fine.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't need to see them again. Yeah. I've seen them, dude, every time.
Counting yesterday was my first time seeing one song of Social D. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to see
I mean,
I don't like dislike them. It's just like they're kind of meh for me. Like, I can dig it a little, but it's not enough for me to want to stay.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I mean, that Social D was the very first punk band that I was obsessed with when I was younger. Like I saw them live and it blew me away. And I was like, I need to see this band. And then they played every year at the House of Blues for fucking the better part of 20 years. Yeah. So I saw them practically every year the first time I saw them live was in 1999. And then I kept seeing them like every year after that. And then I stopped because I started getting more into metal and my punk fandom kind of like started waning down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then I had ended up seeing them like 10 years ago again. They played on New Year's and I saw them play their self-titled album. But like between that, I was like, after that show, I remember telling myself, I'm good. I don't need to see them again. Like, that's it. But this, and then obviously they're here and I was like, okay, well, like I want to go see them, you know, check them out for a little bit. But we saw a few songs and then that was it. But they sounded like Mike Ness sounded clear, but the band was so quiet. And I don't, obviously we were way, way back in the crowd. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I didn't want to go through thousands of people just to get a better, a slightly better sound.
I noticed that at the other stage where the Misfits played, if you were that barrier that separated the crowd from like the front and the back, if you were behind that barrier where the other speakers were, that was the best spot for sound. Cause for several bands, I went up closer to the stage and it sounded like shit. And then I went farther back and it sounded really good. So I just stayed back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, most of the stages sounded good, but there was definitely some technical issues. But
the Attic sounded great.
The Attics were great. Yeah, I guess we were going to talk about Milwaukee, but let's just get right into No Values.
We were there yesterday, last night. Let's just get it out of the way now.
It's very fresh in our minds.
Yeah.
Dude, like, every time I've seen the Addicts, they've sounded exactly like that.
I
don't know. So this is always the thing that I'm wondering, and I know this is true for tours, but for festivals, do people bring their own sound engineers? Do bands bring their own sound engineers?
I think it depends. I think some bands do, some bands don't, and then some festivals have like a main guy. But there's probably like someone with the band in the sound and someone with the festival.
Right, right. Yeah, because there's certain bands where they just sound so fucking good every time. And like no matter any time I've seen them, and I saw the Addicts for the first time live when I was like 14, and I've been seeing them live ever since then. And they've always sounded like that. There's never been a time where I was like, damn, dude, the Addicts did not sound good. They always sound like that.
I've never seen them play a bad show ever.
No, for sure, dude. And like, when you were saying, you were telling me, you're like, yeah, for some odd reason, even though they're one of the happiest, like, and like cheeriest punk bands, like their shows are mad violent.
They're violent as fuck.
Yeah. So back in the day when I was 14, you know, going to Showcase Theater, for those who know what it is or heard of it, which is a ton of people, you know, is a very legendary venue in Southern California, in Corona, California, to be exact, that every band you can think of played at, no doubt, AFI, Amon Amarth, every band you can think of played that theater. And I was there for a lot of those shows. But anyway, so every time, that Showcase was tiny too. It was a fucking, it's a little bit bigger than Chain Reaction, a little bit.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, and the crowd or the floor itself was so small. And dude, if you did not want to get pushed or stepped on or in the pit or shoved, you had to be not on the floor for that to happen. If you were on the floor during any show, well, big punk shows, you're going to get fucking crushed. Like,
it's That's what I tell people all the time. Like, you think metal shows are the most violent crowds? No.
Not I mean, there's, there's, I would say, crowd-wise, punk shows are way more violent.
Way more violent.
But I'm talking about the full crowd.
Yeah.
Mosh pits are more violent for metal shows.
You think so?
I think so. I've been to punk shows where it's just circle pitting, but I've been to metal shows where dudes are like fucking hitting each other.
I've been to punk shows where like it isn't a pit, it's just a riot. Just people
Yeah. I mean, I've done tons of those too, but for me, in my personal experience growing up in the punk scene, like, it was always just like normal circle pits, but the crowd, like people pushing, especially when the Addicts, like when the Addicts were on at Showcase, dude, it was crazy. I was telling you guys a story that I'll just share again. So basically, there was one time back in the day when I was 14, 15, I was tiny as hell. I was like maybe 5'5", 5'6", and I was maybe like a buck 125. I was a tiny dude. I didn't hit my growth spurt till like after high school. Uh-huh. And I was crowd surfing. I loved crowd surfing. I loved stage diving. Like, I was a maniac when I was a kid because I didn't weigh a lot either. So I didn't feel bad about jumping on people. I was like, dude, I didn't play with me. So I was crowd surfing and I was up, you know, upside down, crowd surfing. And then I fall like this in the crowd. So my hands and my arms are together and I'm sticking up and just like that. And I'm stuck in that position, no joke, for around 5 minutes. And the crowd is so packed. People are trying to push people back to get me up, but they can't because everybody's just pushing and slamming. And I'm like breathing. I'm trying to like, don't panic. You're going to be all right. Like, I had to coach myself through that situation because it was so terrible. And then finally, dude, I got up. And as soon as I get up, Monkey just throws a fucking bag of like confetti right in my face. So I already couldn't breathe. Yeah. And it was like, pop. And I'm just like, I'm like, oh, come on, dude.
And there's the whole crowd saying like, I love you. I'm dying.
Like, help. Every time I've seen the Addicts, like they were one of the worst at the Showcase in terms of like the crowd being apeshit. The other worst was Subhumans. Every time Subhumans played there, dude, it was like those shows that you just said, those mosh pits where it was a riot. Subhumans, hands down, every time. Showcase Theater, people were just like, wow, like you couldn't escape it. You were just getting pelted like from every direction.
Yeah, it's crazy. I saw the Addicts with one of my exes at the Observatory. I was telling you, we're in the pit area. It's kind of like walled off with like stairs down to walk into. And it was so fucking crazy in there. We kept getting smashed against the wall that we climbed up it to get out of the fucking pit area and climb out. But yeah, I knew the Addicts would be fucking insane yesterday.
Yeah. So speaking of that time that I did that, where I was stuck like that, that's because the crowd was so crazy. I had to crowd surf to breathe because it was just it was just like people just running into you. You're getting, then the showcase stage was like not that tall. So, and they didn't have a barricade. It was just a stage. So yeah, you're getting like, if you're in the front,
you're getting pushed. Just like, yeah.
Yeah. You're getting pushed into the speakers, the floor monitors and the stage. You're just like this. So I was like, oh dude, I can't breathe. So I got up and then it made it worse.
But yeah, anyway. Young me, got many bruises and injuries. Just
because, oh yeah,
it gets like the rail and stage.
Yeah.
Like your knees just getting broke against it.
The Doll Hut in Anaheim, this was like maybe four or five years ago. So Narcoleptic Youth, which is my all-time favorite punk band, one of my all-time favorite punk bands, they're the only band that brings the mosh out of me. Like, I mean, this is a retired mosher podcast. It's called that for a reason.
Right.
I don't mosh a lot anymore.
I'm feeling very retired today.
The one band that gets me going is Narcoleptic Youth. No matter when I see them, I will get in the pit just because it's like they get me.
Yeah.
And so at the Doll Hut, as you know, the stage is like a foot and a half tall. And so one of the times we saw them there, people were pushing me into the stage and I was just belting out the lyrics and my shins, dude, they were bruised and bloody for like 3 weeks, just straight wrecked, chewed up.
You're trying to walk back to your car.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I mean, that was us yesterday trying to get back to your car.
Dude. Yeah. It was so fucking painful. I was going to joke. Were you saying you're stuck in that position for the addicts? That reminds me of that story of this guy who got stuck in a cave upside down for like hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's like you in a punk crowd for that.
Yeah. What is that? What is that movie? 127 Hours?
The yeah. One something
he,
like that.
He
yeah.
gets pinned. He gets pinned in between the rock and he has to cut his arm off.
Yeah.
To like live.
We got to make a short film now of exactly that, but at a punk show, like you're stuck in the crowd and can't get out and you're trying to get.
I mean, that, that's
like,
not a bad.
You're just finally getting out, and then the song starts again, and the crowd's like, no!
That's not a bad idea.
It's really not.
And that would be funny, too. And then it's like from the perspective of the crowd, like you're, it just zooms in, and you're stuck, and you're like having an existential crisis.
Yeah.
And there's all these people around just doing their thing, and you're like, oh my God.
The crowd is viewed like, you know, like the ocean in a horror movie or something, like some overwhelming force.
That would be awesome. Oh man, that would be awesome. $1 million idea. Don't steal the people. We have a copyright.
But yeah, No Values was awesome except for the parking situation, but me and you got around that fairly easy. I was reading comments that said it apparently was really bad.
So this is our fault. We should have known, because in typical show fashion, there's one way in and one way out. So we should have known it was going to be that fucked and left earlier. But me and my girlfriend live 2 miles away, and it took us an hour to get in using Uber. And we had to go three different ways. We tried one way, gridlocked, like how you were. We went that second where you parked. That was our second gridlock. And the Uber driver is like, he's like, hey, can you like help me out? Like, where should I go? I was like, just go around, man. Go around to the freeway, the backside, and try to go on Fairplex Drive where the gate 17 was at. Finally, we get there, and then that was moving a little bit quicker, and then we just jumped out, and then we walked into the festival. And they made it worse because they made parking free. That's what happened, too.
I was wondering about that.
So they made the parking completely free with the ticket purchase, and I think if they would have not done that, people would have parked further away and walked in and not had so much gridlock, because everybody was like, free parking, let's go park, instead of like Ubering or parking a distance away and then walking in. But you know, I mean, that was cool. They did that. Cause usually
they charge. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't really complain about free parking, but the situation was pretty fucked where, when I was on the freeway, we were stopped for a while, not moving, just at the exit. And I decided, fuck that. And I went to go around a different way that said it was quicker. And then I got onto city streets, like at an intersection where there was a 7-Eleven and, you know, Taco Bell and shit. Stuck there, not moving for at least 20 minutes, and where it's clearly, you know, not just the light shit going on. So I drove as close as I could and then just parked in that neighborhood where you saw my car was, and walked like 30, 40 minutes uphill, which was worth it, which was completely worth it, because I would have missed the addicts if I didn't do that.
Yeah, dude. And then us too. So we were just like, let's walk a little distance and catch an Uber, because it was $80 after we got out. And I was like, I'm not paying $80 to go 2 miles to my house. I was like, no. I'll walk the 2 miles. And then luckily we ran into you and you gave us a ride. So thank you for that. But yeah, dude, it's like, it's crazy. Yeah, but other than that, the festival was great. This was an important one for me because I grew up seeing all these bands live when I was younger, and to have them all on the same bill. The thing that fucking sucks is A, you found out that Tony Hawk was there on the halfpipe,
and that was dude. Cool. I saw him and I didn't even know. I was watching the skateboarding and I heard them say he's over 50, and then I heard them say Tony Hawk, and I thought they were being like referencing like the older guy skateboarding Tony Hawk. I didn't know they actually meant it was fucking Tony Hawk, and I was watching. I didn't know.
So to make matters worse, Tony Hawk was not only there at the halfpipe skating, but he also recorded a video, and we skipped seeing them because we went and got food, and I've seen them I don't even know how many times growing up. But Agent Orange brought out Jello Biafra, and they dipped police truck.
Oh, cool. Oh,
and so, rad. Yeah, Tony Hawk recorded it. You can see the video on his Instagram. Yeah. He recorded it. And he was like, I would have never thought Jello Biafra would have come out and did a Dan Kennedy song. Not only that, but he did two songs that day. He did that one with Agent Orange, and then he came out with Dillinger Escape Plan, and then he did California Uber Alles.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I was like, damn it. And those are both bands I missed because I was like, I've never really got into Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
Like I barely listening to the playlist, No Valley's playlist on Spotify. Like I heard them, I was like, oh, they're cool. But I never knew who they were. Yeah. My buddy, who's a big fan, was like, oh, are you going to go see them? I was like, nah, I'm not. I'm going to go. I forgot who was on at the same time as them, but we went and saw that band instead. But that was kind of a bummer because I was like, damn it, man.
Yeah, I never got into Dillinger either. I went and like sat there and was eating while they were playing, but it just wasn't really my thing. But there's a bunch of guest appearances and stuff all day. It was really awesome. It was such a cool festival. It's like another huge complaint of mine is how expensive everything was for a punk rock show. Everything was super fucking inflated. But that said, like that was only the only thing that really felt like corporate about it. Besides that, it did feel like a really big like punk rock celebration where like you felt like all of the bands were friends of each other because most of them were. And then even the organizer came out for a ton of bands and like said some little spiel before. So it felt like that kind of punk like family vibe for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen. So me and Leo went to the Punk's Not Dead Festival, which was like 4 years ago, maybe. And other than that one, these two together, back in the day, the K-Rock Inland Invasion, the punk version, was the last time that I saw a collection of punk bands this big.
Yeah.
And it was great, man. I mean, sadly, I know you didn't get to see Cro-Mags. We got to see a couple songs when we finally got in. So it started with Cro-Mags, right into Adolescence, which were fantastic.
Yeah, they were great.
And then you went and saw Aquabats, and we just hung out and waited for the Addicts to come on. The Addicts, and then let me see. I'm trying to can you pull that up, Jamie?
I know. I was trying to remember who all we saw yesterday. It's like,
I saw
Black Flag. I saw the Vandals. Vandals are fun.
Having some connection issues here.
Yeah, I'll have them. Black Flag, Vandals, Bad Religion, Iggy Pop. I saw Iggy Pop.
Yep. I had connection issues that I'll cut out.
At least it's not live. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I know. Okay, cool. Yeah, that happened last time, and I was like, "Shit, I had to cut it all out." But anyway, we'll go backward. So yeah, it was Cro-Mags. Cro-Mags started it for us. A couple songs, Adolescence, then the Addicts. We skipped TSOL, and then we got food. Them. Yeah, we just saw them open for Tiger Army. So I was like, yeah, that's when we got food. We went and saw Black Flag, then Hepcat. And I think after that, we were chilling. Oh, we went to that the DJ area, the underground DJ area.
Yeah, that place was really fucking cool.
It was. And that's when Agent Orange was playing. And we chilled in there for a little bit, got a drink. And then the Damned came on. So we went and saw them.
Mm.
Yeah, and then after that, Fiddlar, and then Sublime, and then the Dickies. Took another break and then saw Power Trip, a little bit of Social D, Steve Ingrid, and then finished with the Misfits.
Nice.
I know you're probably not a Sublime fan, but it was fucking surreal. I grew up, you were probably watching Bad Religion.
Yeah, or, definitely. That's who. If they were on.
Or Fear, you were probably watching Fear.
Oh yeah, I went to check out Fear.
Yeah, I've seen Fear before, cool. So yeah. So I mean, I grew up, you know, on Sublime, like most people's from Southern California, mm-hmm. and but he, Bradley Noel, had already been dead for a long time. You know, when I started listening, to, I mean, I started listening in the early '90s, but he died, you know, pretty shortly into their careers, for the most part, and then. Before they became Sublime, they were called the Long Beach Dub All Stars, and then they became Sublime, and then they reverted back to that. So I saw them. Yeah, or they became that after. I can't remember the exact history, but I've seen the Long Beach Dub All Stars, which is all the members of Sublime, mm-hmm. Minus Bradley Noel, and they were cool, but they weren't Bradley Noel. You know, they weren't Sublime. They weren't Sublime. So this was really cool because his son fucking sounds exactly like him. It's crazy. And people are going to go, oh, what's his son? I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. Just because it's, you know, lineage doesn't mean they're going to sound exactly alike. But
yeah,
dude sounds exactly like Bradley Noel. It's eerie.
And that's crazy.
It was really special. Like, we stayed the whole time because I was like, I've never got to see Sublime. So it was like seeing Sublime.
Kind of. Yeah, that's cool.
It was great. Yeah. And a song that I haven't listened to in years, which is called Date Rape. I'm sorry if people are sensitive to that, but it is what it is. That song was what they opened with, and it was amazing. And,
really? Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I was like, and it was great, dude. It was, I grew up on K-rock bands, and that was like really cool, like nostalgia / full circle moment seeing them with his son. I was like, whoa, dude, this is, it was,
yeah.
They were one of my top five of the day for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Who was your top number one for the day?
I don't want to default to the Addicts, but I know, you know, it's the Addicts are just amazing live. Taking them out of the equation, I will say probably Power Trip. Power Trip was awesome. They really, that made me happy.
That one was meaningful too. Obviously, the like.
Yeah.
That wasn't just seeing a cool band. It was very impactful.
Yeah. And
it was cool. They reposted my video of them on Twitter, and it's getting pretty popular right now.
Oh, sweet. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were fantastic. Phil's seeing them tonight. I don't know when this episode's coming out, probably in a couple of days. So tonight, as in when we're recording this, at the Fonda Theater, and sold out. And
oh, nice.
He was like, yeah, we're getting tickets. And I was like, it was like $50. I was like, well, I already spent $200 to see them at No Values. So I'm going to see them there.
I was thinking that because some people were complaining about the price for No Values. And I'm like, yeah, you know, $200 is a lot of money. But at the same time, I've definitely seen the Misfits alone headlining for like $120, $150. So right. I did really justify it like that. And compared to like Sick New World and shit, it's at least half the price of
Sick New World is $400.
Yeah,
the yearly rents.
I actually thought that No Values was pretty worth the price of the ticket. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, I always prefer it to be cheaper, but I couldn't really complain.
That is the only reason why we went. If it would have been more than $200, we wouldn't have gone. And because because we're saving up for Japan and everything else, and we had promised ourselves no more 1-day festivals.
Yeah,
because like they're expensive. Normally the layout sucks and the overlap of bands is terrible. You miss people. And it's like, I just don't want to do that anymore. And like having to stand up on my feet for fucking 8 hours a day, 12 hours. Sometimes it's just like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
And the bands are short too.
Right. And I mean, Sick New World, like the opening bands played for 15 minutes. It's like three songs and they're fucking done. So it's like, you know, and it was funny because this, 1-day festival, that's like a lot of oldies. Natalie wanted to go to, and we opted not to go to that instead of to book our trip to Japan. And she was like, no, I was like, yeah, let's just not do the 1-day festival thing. And then this one was announced and I was like, okay, one more.
This like, one was hard to beat though, man. Like that lineup was fucking sick. I met someone, I don't remember who we were waiting for, but I've met him in Iggy Pop, but I met this guy from the UK who came just for this show. So people came from all over.
And that's always the case. We you know, back in the day during Knotfest, we met some guys that were from like Australia that came
all the way.
I know. But you know, and it just like those kind of like this is a special lineup. Like this is not this is not a lineup that's ever going to happen again. So I understand people needing to come out here for it.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. Like it wasn't Sick New World when we were young and stuff. You can tell it's just like a mash of let's get every band that subgenre likes and just shove them together. This one did kind of feel more like this lineup won't happen again. You got fucking The Addicts, Bad Religion, Social D, Misfits, Iggy Pop, all back to back to back to back. Like that's not just like if they do New Values again next year, I'm sure lineup probably won't look like that.
No, and I'm sure it'll probably be more expensive too. Because like it's sold out and the success of it, like they're probably going to be like, okay, we could probably squeeze a little bit more money, add a little bit more bands, but then the overlap is just going to be, it's going to suck.
Open up a little bit more parking or more lanes for parking.
Right. And so actually, funny enough, I'm glad that I'm really glad that the lineup for Mayhem sucks balls because I would have gone, if it was a good lineup, that would have been another one. And I would have had to convince her to go because I said no more, but Mayhem is like special to me because of all the amazing lineups they used to have, but then they come out but they come out with this dog shit lineup and I'm like, never mind, I don't want to go to that, it's bad.
It was only like slightly less shit than the Summer Slaughter lineup, but I'm still happily not go to either of them.
Two bands I want to see in an entire lineup is Ginger and Architects, and that's it. And
yeah, like, for me Ginger and Unearth, and that's it, and I'm like no.
Yeah, that's anyway, and Glenn Helen is even worse. Getting out of Glenn Helen,
fucked up place.
Getting out of Glenn Helen is like a 4-hour. Event.
Yeah, you know it's gonna catch on fire.
Oh, for sure, people are gonna light it on fire. They do every year. That was funny enough. That's where I saw Social D back in 1999, the first time.
Oh,
and when they played Ring of Fire, the entire lawn was like lit on fire.
Yeah,
in like
five makes
different
sense.
Places.
I totally understand that.
But yeah, man, No Values was great. I'm tired. My feet hurt. You know, my back hurts and stuff. Again, this is why I'm the retired mosher. But it was very special seeing all those bands together. I haven't seen those bands in years, and them being together like that. It's like I said, it's not gonna happen again. And yeah, it was great.
I loved it. I had a great time. Like I said, my only issues were that shit was fucking expensive. A burger and fries was $27. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
An ice cream popsicle stick was $7. It could buy for $1 at the liquor store right now.
I know. We also got ice cream. I got ice cream twice. And we got the smash burgers and fries. So two smash burgers and an order of fries was $50.
Yeah, fuck you, Smashburger.
Yeah, and I mean, I knew it was going to be expensive. I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but I mean, everything's just going up. You know, the festivals.
It very clearly was the vendor fee must have been high because it was all across the board for everybody.
That's the way it's been, though. Like, everybody's just raising their prices. You know, bands are raising their prices on merch because they're taking merch cuts now. And like, everything's happening. It's a perfect storm for everything to be so much more expensive. And it sucks. But that's just the reality of it now. I mean, even normal shows, you go to any show in LA, you know, beer's like almost $20 now, $18. It's anywhere from $16 to $20.
They were selling PBRs for what, like $16?
$16, a tall can. I can get a fucking 32 pack for that much money.
Dude, I was thinking like
36 pack, excuse me.
If this punk festival had happened like in the 80s or something back in the day and they had burgers for 27 and PBRs for 16, there have been riots. That shit would have been on fire
for sure. For sure. But I mean, other than that, the expensive, and so that's the thing too, is I'm trying not to drink as heavily at shows because it's so expensive. Like between me and that, we spend upwards of like $150 every time we go to a festival like that, drinking all day. And I'm like, I don't really want to feel like shit. I want to remember the bands because this is special and I don't want to spend that much money. And so I bought two beers and then the rest of the day I just drink water. So I end up spending only like $50, which is not bad in comparison to what I normally spend.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. But $50 for just drinks and then $50 for that stupid burger and fries. But
yeah, that was fucking crazy. But besides those prices, like the bands were fucking great. The lineup was incredible. It was a good fucking, it was a really good time.
It was. So my buddy Jose was there, and he was the one that was like, he's a big fan of Dillinger and told me about Jello Biafra coming out. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying that he had to pee really bad. And then he gets to Power Trip and he gets in the pit and some dude just like totally hit him in the stomach, like in the kidney. And he's like, dude, I almost pissed myself and I had to run to the bathroom.
That's terrible. I was like, your water broke.
Right. I was like, well, yeah, man, that's the price you pay for getting in the pit. I was like, that's why I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to hang out.
Yeah. I think when we were watching the Addicts, the pit broke out right next to us. And I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
You guys have fun.
Yeah, it's a young man's game. It's why I don't do it anymore. I like enjoying the bands now. I paid my dues, if you will. I spent the better part of 15 to 20 years in the pit, and now I'm okay. Like, I don't need to do
that. Right. And I don't want to lose my leg, so I'll just rather not.
During, so funny enough, Mayhem, which we were just talking about, the last Mayhem, not the last one, but one of the last ones we went to, Motorhead played. And we saw this older guy. He was big too. He was probably like 6'3" and about 300 pounds. And he was in the pit and just saw his leg get broken. Just bah! And we helped him up and he was big. So there was like five of us. I picked him up and then we helped him. And then the cart came and got him, broke his leg. He right there in front of us. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that'll not worth it.
No,
I'm not saying don't mosh and go crazy. Please do.
Yeah,
I'm just explaining why I will not. I'll be standing in the back like, you guys have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and funny enough, I was that kid like, oh, look at these dudes just standing there with their arms crossed. They're not cool. But now I get it. Now I'm like, yeah, I'm that guy because you know what? I did that thing. I'm already done.
Exactly.
I don't want my leg to be broken. Everyone's going to be like, oh, man, you posers. You're not about it. Go do that all day long. If you break a leg, don't come crying to us.
Right, yeah, and then go walk back to your car for an hour and then...
Yeah, I know, 40 minutes away, and then you're going to be with broken leg and shit. Or you have to leave the show early because you broke your leg, so I'm all right. I want to stay, watch all the bands, and not worry about my leg getting broken.
Speaking of Mayhem Fest, one of the years, my friend Rudy went, and he was really drunk. During some band, he smashed his leg in the pit, and he went to the medic people, and they were telling him that he should leave and go to hospital and get it looked at right then. And I don't remember who it was. I think it was Rob Zombie, but he was like, no, fuck that. I don't want to see Rob Zombie, man. I came to see Rob fucking Zombie. And like everyone telling him like, no, dude, you need to go. He's like, no, fuck that. I want to see Rob Zombie. And then he fell asleep on the lawn, like right as Zombie was starting, and he missed the whole fucking set.
Oh man. Yeah, so Natalie's brother, he used to go to the Ozfest, and he broke his leg, and then he had trouble finding his car. So he broke his leg, and then he's hobbling around trying to get back to his car to take himself to the hospital. Can't find his car, and it's at Glen Helen, which you know those parking lots were massive.
Yeah,
and then she couldn't go to shows because of him.
That fucking sucks.
I know, dude. I know. I mean, you know, what was it? Not Fest. I forgot what year, but Battlecross opened the show, and it was a year that we camped out for it. So we were on the ground.
Oh yeah,
and it was me and Enrique, and we had a cooler, a bunch of beer. So we're like, we woke up, we made breakfast, and we're drinking since like, I don't even know, dude. We're drinking since like 9 a.m. And then by the time we finally get in to the show, Battlecross comes on at like 1:30, and I'm like, I'm drunk already, and I'm like, let's go. And I get in the pit, I fall. And my arm kind of like bends behind me, and then this big guy lands on it and rolled it. Dude, it hurt so bad. Oh, and I was holding it like this. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's enough to pit for me.
As soon as it starts, just like,
the first man, I almost broke my damn arm. Yeah, dude. I can't do it anymore.
I know. I told you, the one I broke my leg for was Anthrax at Aftershock. Oof. And they're playing Caught in a Mosh, and that's the song that got me into metal. Like, I still feel the same pump up and energy when I hear it. And at the time, I was drunk, and I went running in the pit and immediately fell, and all these people fell on top of me and shattered my leg. And that's when the doctor told me that, like, it was really close to coming to a permanent leg injury. So that's why I won't mosh anymore. But the last time I saw Anthrax, I think it was at Milwaukee last year, They play Cotton to Mosh, and I'm getting like hyped and like wanting, feel like I want to mosh, and then feeling my leg. I'm like, never mind. He's like, just get this singe coming in.
Funny you should say that. So I, not a big Anthrax fan, and never was, never will be. It's just not a band that I really care that much about. But a song came on that I never heard before because I'm just not a big fan.
And you're a fun hater.
Yeah, I'm a fun hater, yes. But I liked it a lot. And I was like, I forgot to text you. I was like, dude, you won't believe it. I like an Anthrax song.
Which song?
Got the Time. That's
all. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's classic. That's super classic.
Right. So, again, I've just never been into Anthrax, so I never listened to them fully. But so I don't know if you've ever done the day list on Spotify, but it's basically like it just does a random assortment of bands now. And so it was like some weird playlist, and that came on. I was like, whoa, who's this? And I was like, Anthrax. I was like, oh, shit, it's pretty cool.
You're like, all right. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was like, all right. Pretty good. But... yeah, and then Enrique, there was one, our mutual friend Enrique, he was seeing Lamb of God, was supposed to see Lamb of God, and ended up like fucking his leg up, and then had to leave and miss Lamb of God.
And, like, I think he said it was because of Anthrax, too.
Yes, it might have been because of Anthrax. Yeah. So he was all drunk, and he got in the pit, and he almost broke his leg. Like, he couldn't work for weeks because I don't know what he did. It was like a deep bone bruise, I believe it was. And yeah, he couldn't walk. And he missed Lamb of God, and I was like, the whole reason he went there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You remember I came to one of your parties with my broken leg. And
you did. Yes, you did.
Very miserable.
Yes. And so there you go, kids. Look, if you're young, you heal quicker, but that doesn't mean you are above getting your legs broken. So whatever you want to do, go do it. Please get in the pit. Support bands the way that you want to support them. But also understand us older folk like to hang out and not get pushed and stepped on and our legs broken. So there you go.
And if you're going to go see Anthrax live, you might want to make sure you have health insurance.
Please always make sure you have health insurance before you do any of that crazy shit. But yeah, man, it was awesome though. No Values was great.
The pits yesterday were pretty cool. Like, there were a lot of them everywhere, especially for Misfits. They were just like everywhere.
Yeah.
In my video for it, I want to put the clip of Gollum going pits, terrible pits.
Yeah, man, that was, they were great. I'm very happy I finally got to see them. I've been a Misfits fan for as long as I can remember, but I've never got to see the original Misfits. And then when they started doing the reunion shows, they were at Bank of California. I didn't go to that one.
I went to that one.
Right. And it was expensive. It was like $80.
It was. Or
whatever. Yeah, right. And I was like, I cannot justify paying that much for Misfits. But
for a punk band.
Right. But, you know, obviously, it's a rarity. Well, I thought it was a rarity, so I almost bought a ticket. Come to find out it's not. They've been playing more and more shows. But
yeah.
The point being, I'm glad I finally got to see them. Checked it off my list. My favorite songs, I turned into a Martian. They played it right away. I was like, yes. I was like, I turned into a Martian. And he started it. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, let's go. They did it for me. Only for me.
I liked how the Misfits were the only band on the main stages that didn't have the professional cameras.
Yeah,
filming them. It was just like Steadicam in the back, and Danzig was always like blurry.
I was laughing so hard because he sounded out of breath from the moment.
Immediately, he looked fatter too. As soon as he came out, and I was like,
"We were in the back. We were in the back." And my phone has a really good zoom, and I was
me
like,
too.
All I can see is his gut.
Yeah, he's like the Vince Neil of punk rock now. He Except immediately he came out. He's like, and the cameras are all in the back. He's like,
like,
all right, we're gonna play an old song, even though they're all old songs. And I'm gonna say that for every single fucking song.
Between every song, he was like, all right, Doyle, you ready? I was like, bro, take a breather.
And then at one point, they're like, apparently, we're having technical issues. I'm like, are you?
Yeah,
the only band to have technical issues the whole festival.
Right. Yeah, no, they were great though. They were fantastic.
It was great. Like, yeah, Hybrid Moments was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I started walking out when they were playing Attitude, just because I wanted to get to my car before the fucking army made it out.
Yeah, so, and it was funny, we were walking around and we could still hear them. So we caught still the end of their set list, but same. We started walking out right like after or right around Skulls, and then they played Attitude right after that. And we were like, all right, let's just try to get an Uber before everybody else. And there were so many people leaving already.
Yeah, there were. I think most people were staying for them, though, but there was a good amount of people who were already moseying out. But yeah, I was reading comments earlier today on their posts, and people were saying they were stuck for like 2 hours trying to get out of there.
Exactly why we Ubered, and exactly why I was like, and even Nat was like, is this better than us parking? I was like, yeah.
Because
if we would have parked in there, we would have waited minimum 2 hours, minimum.
And how pissed off would you have been to wait 2 hours to go to your place that was down the fucking street?
Super pissed off. That's why I was like, I would much rather walk home, even with my feet and my back killing me. I would have walked that. I would have walked. If we didn't run into you, I was like, we can probably just walk home. We're like right here.
If I lived as close as you, I would have too. I've always been that person. Like, I will walk 30, even 40 minutes if it's either like free parking or just will avoid that fucking mess of being stuck for hours.
Yeah, dude. Again, this is something, you know, when you get older and you have paid your dues and you've been going to concerts for so long, you don't want to deal with this. And for people that put themselves in that situation and you're still doing it, you know, more power to you.
We're not trashing you. We're just saying. We're not trashing what you're doing. We're just saying get the FastPass ticket. It's worth it. Another older concert veteran trick I've been doing, at least for arenas and big shows like this, I will leave during the band's last song.
Oh, for sure.
For that exact reason.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually I've already seen the band, so it's a song that, like, I've seen live. And, or even then, you can usually see most of the song and then, like, halfway through be like, all right, start, like, going. That is the difference between 5 minutes getting out of the parking lot and an hour and a half getting out of parking lot.
I told her that last night, funny enough, before we ran into you. I was like, let's see 80% of their songs. I was like, and then I'm good. Then we can leave. You know, it's fine.
I did at the Amon Amarth show at the Honda Center the other day, just because it was like, yeah, I'm not fucking waiting in that parking. I've seen Amon Amarth a billion times. So like, it was a great show. Loved it. But I can live missing one song to beat that traffic.
Yeah, that's every show we go to now, even if it's a smaller show. Like, if it's a band we've seen a bunch of times, we'll be like, hey, you guys want to go? There'll be like two songs before they end. We're like, yeah, let's just go. And then we leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even then, like, even if you're at a small venue like the Observatory, it's still kind of a pain in the ass to get out sometimes. So it's like, why deal with that? Just leave. Leave. You're going to be okay.
I remember being 16 and being like, no, I'm staying on the rail for 8 hours. I'm not eating. I'm going to get like covered in bruises. And then I'll wait and it'd be the last car out.
Yeah.
Get home at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I know. That used to be us all the time. I did that, like I said, for the better part of 20 years. And now I just want to chill and see a band and enjoy it and go, you know what? I'm good to go.
I was telling my band at our last show that we played where we ended up headlining. And I was saying, I love playing our shows. I love playing all, you know, going to shows and everything. But when you get to like 30 and late 30s, as excited as I am for the concert, I'm equally as excited to go home and be like showered and comfortable afterward and be like, all right. As much as I look forward to getting on stage, I'm just as excited to putting on my pajamas and sitting down afterward and being like,
yeah, I mean, same, you know, I'm at the age now where I pay rent and I pay more rent and I have a house and I want to enjoy where I live and enjoy being at home and throwing on a video game and relaxing with my dogs and just chilling out. Like, I want to enjoy what I've built.
And yeah. Yeah.
When you're younger, you're like, I just want to go out and tear it up. And absolutely, please do that. Absolutely do that. But
we're not saying don't do that. We're just saying you'll be us one day.
Other people watching this, posers, man. Look at these old guys. You know what? This is going to be you.
As you are, I once was. As we are, you will be.
Exactly. I used to be you all starry-eyed with the whole world in front of you. Now I'm just tired. I don't sleep well. I got three dogs. I got all these bills. I just want to chill out, man. Leave me alone.
I'm fucking tired. Leave me alone.
I'm tired. Leave me alone.
That's what I posted for No Values. I'm like, Punk's not dead. It just has a membership for AARP.
Yeah, now. I saw that. We were talking about that. I was like, dude, it's crazy. So one of my friends, Carly, who's old school punk rocker, we went to a bunch of shows back in the day, and you know, she messaged me when on my story on Instagram with the Addicts. She's like, oh my god, they must be like 100 years old now. I'm like, yeah, they probably are, but they still put on a good show.
They fucking killed it. Yeah,
yeah, they were great. They were great.
I want to joke in my videos, wonder backstage they must have been had a huge supply of the Biden juice they do before he goes out on stage, just crank him up and then
go. Oh yeah. It's a freaking Bane venom they just inject. Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that in my video and be like, backstage, yeah, here are all the punk bands like Iggy Pop, and put the clip of Bane.
Bane just, I'm pretty sure that's what's keeping Iggy Pop together, because that guy's decrepit.
That's what we were saying. In my video, I'm going to call him Riggy Mortis Pop.
Dude, so what you saw was what we saw at Cruel World or whatever
it was. He was good. I liked him.
He was really good, but the way he walks with like a tilt. And it's pretty noticeable that he's not well put together anymore. And he also does not perform with the shirt on. And it's like, bro, you're like almost 80. Put your shirt on.
He looks like he thought there was another step when he was going downstairs. And you're like, and then.
Yeah. Permanently like that, though. Just...
I was telling my mom, he has the bodder of Pinocchio if you dropped him on the floor. And he's like,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, he killed it. He was great. I never saw Iggy Pop before. I was really excited to see him. Yeah. I thought he was awesome. I just also think that when he dies, you can make a nice belt and boots out of his torso. Jesus Christ.
Like, damn, dude, you got them gaiters on? They're like, nah, they're not gaiters. These are freaking.
These are Iggy's, bro.
These are Iggy's, bro. He does look like that. I'm sorry.
He's great. I loved Iggy Pop, but I'm
still Iggy Pop is a legend. We also like seeing him live, but I was like, bro, you gotta know when to like rein it in.
It was cool. He came out with like a leather vest and was like, all right, that works. Then he ripped off and I was like, yeah, you could have left the vest on.
Can we get the vest back? Can we get the vest back?
Excuse me. Pause the show.
Pause the show. Get him his vest back.
You dropped this, sir.
Yeah, sir, put this back on.
I was bummed though that he clashed with a little bit with Power Trip. So as I was leaving Iggy to go catch Power Trip, that's when he starts playing Lust for Life, and I was like,
fuck. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest one was, like I said, I wanted to see Social D, but we didn't get a chance to see a lot of them because in between Power Trip, Social D came on. We caught a little bit of them and then ran over to go see Steve Ignorant because I grew up a Crass fan, and I was like, I have to see him. And it was amazing. It was like everything I could have hoped for.
That's cool.
I mean, he sounds a lot like older and shit, obviously, because he's like also in his 60s, but they were great. They were fantastic. That made me really happy to be able to do that, to see Crass performed. Cause That's like awesome. Crass was like one of the first punk bands that I really, really got into when I was very young, and I was like, man, like it would be great. Cause at that point, I think Steve Ignorant was from Crass. He went into Conflict, and then Conflict, they broke up. And then he started touring again with his band doing Crass songs like way later, but I never got to see him. And then, you know, now I did. So it was great. It's fantastic. Nice. Yeah, man, it was a good lineup. I'm happy. It was well worth it. It was well worth the pain. It was well worth the money. Yeah.
I'm just tired as fuck now.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. We woke up. I was like, oh god, what the hell? I sound like I swallowed a fucking weed whacker. My voice is all raspy.
I was gonna put in my video. I just got back from No Values, and boy, is my voice tired.
Yeah, really though. Yeah, and from No Values, about 3 weeks ago, we were back going back to what we were talking about earlier. We were also in Milwaukee for
from the very Milwaukee beginning. Metal
Fest. From the very beginning, going back in time. We also went to Milwaukee Metal Fest. You can check out Wyatt's video on that. Please go.
Yeah, that video's up there. It's fun. I also got to interview Jamie Josta before the festival.
Jamie Josta. And honestly, like I have never been a Hatebreed fan. I think hardcore is pretty silly. I think the Hong Kong Fooey dancing is also silly.
Hong Kong Fooey.
But I have a lot of respect for Jamie Josta after listening to that interview. I really like that he's like, what made me like him more was that he was like, look, I get it. I get why people don't like us. And I was like, yeah, I don't. And he's like, and I don't, like, I don't. And he was real about it. He's like, but he's like, give it a shot. You know, don't turn your back on a band just because. And honestly, that has led me to like a lot of bands to be this is news right here. Enrique has known this for a long time. I didn't really care for Lamb of God back in the day. I was like, yeah, they're cool, but they weren't special to me until I saw them live.
That's the exact same thing that happened to me.
I was like, holy fuck, this band is amazing. And so, in the same vein, what Jamie Joss was saying on Wyatt's interview, please go listen to that. It's really cool. Is you don't know, go check a band out. You may end up liking them, and then you're a fan. You don't know. Go check bands out. If you're at a festival, go listen to random shit. You never know. You never know what you're gonna find. So
yeah, that's way back in the day. I was a hater of Lamb of God. I was trashing them, and then at an Ozfest they played, and I watched them, and I was like, this band's fucking awesome. And just ever since then, it just got totally. You never know like that. And that's what I love about festivals is that if you go check out a band, if you don't like, you just turn around, leave, and go do something else.
Yeah, yeah. I talk shit about them only because Enrique was a fan. I just wanted to piss him off, but I just wasn't like, they were cool. They were like, whatever, but I never really got into them until I saw them live.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy fuck. And he's like, I've been telling you for years. I'm like, okay, I'm a fan. I get it. And then after that, I was like, okay, now I got to listen to all their shit and go to all the shows and stuff. But yeah, no, Milwaukee Metal Fest, Jamie Josta bought it. He revived it. We went last year. It was spectacular.
It was awesome.
The venue is amazing. Milwaukee, for being a kind of like nothing town, and I mean that with all due respect, but it's a small town, if you will, is actually really cool. The people out there are very nice.
I really like it. It's a
so do
very
I.
It's, nice area. I mean, it is.
Yeah. Well,
anyone from there watching this will know exactly what we mean.
Yeah. You know, you have your rough areas, but
yeah,
the people are great. It's cheap. You know, it's not too expensive. The beer was not too bad. You know, food is not too bad. The food's good. It was fantastic last year, and we went again this year. This year was a little bit more special for me because my favorite metal band played, which is In Flames. I was very happy when they were announced, and that was like, okay, I gotta go. And Natalie, who's my girlfriend, who I already mentioned in this pod, I'll mention again, surprised me with a meet and greet with them. So I finally got to meet them. I've been a fan of them since I was a sophomore in high school at the tender age of 15. I am now almost 37, and I finally got to meet them. I was nervous. I stuttered when I said stuff, but they signed a vinyl of mine. They signed a actually, I have it right here. I will pull it's like it
out. A close-up of Bane's face right there.
They signed my lanyard. Cool. So my lanyard is signed by them. I have a signed vinyl. I know.
I'm on. Hello.
It was great. I got to meet them. Like I said, I stuttered. I was nervous. It was really funny, but they were they were cool. They were really cool. So Anders, who is the lead singer, who I was hoping would be a little bit more friendly, was kind of not, but that's okay. But Bjorn, who is the other original member, or the actual original member left, was very welcoming. He was really cool. That's so that cool. Made me happy. He was like, so I met all them. He's like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I was like, I'm good. And then they signed everything. And then after that, we did the pictures. And I was like, they called me over. I was like the first one for a picture, and Bjorn's like, come on, man, get over here in the middle of us. And I was like, it was great, dude. It was great. But the whole festival again was fantastic. It was really another good lineup. This year was to me too much power metal.
Power metal is too much for you. There could be one power metal band, you'd be like, there's too much power metal.
I will agree with that. But I will say, like, I get it. I get that there's a mixture, but to me, this was too much. Anyway, doesn't matter. But the positive of that is I am now a Doro fan. She was incredible.
Yeah, I was so happy about that. I didn't know how you guys are going to. I thought you'd be a fun hater again because you hate
dude,
all
no,
fun.
Dude, no, she absolutely killed it. I was so shocked. I cannot believe I never listened to her before. I know you've talked about her, and I've seen her on lineups, but I was like, man, like, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. And then she played, and she was fantastic.
Yeah, so that's I know so many people, the consensus now is like, oh, Doro, whatever. And I'm like, fuck you. I will back Doro 100%. That's why me and Jamie were like freaking out about her. But you can tell she is full of authenticity. You can tell she's real and she loves doing it. And she's just good.
Yeah. The music was really fantastic. I even started listening to her on like my commute to work. And I became a fan. I don't, as Wyatt was just saying, as I will tell everybody here, I don't like power metal. I've never been a power metal fan, but I feel Doro is like way heavier of power metal, even though her vocals are clean. But that was fantastic. There you go. Power metal, you got me. You got me with
more. I'd say she's more classic, right? She is. Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, then.
She is. Yeah, she is. She is for sure. But regardless of that, she was fantastic. I am now a fan. That was like a really shocking one for me because I was like, well, okay, let's see how this is. And she was.
Yeah. I totally loved her set.
Yeah.
And I've put in my video, the best part about it is since I was in the photo pit, I could very much smell her perfume. And after how like stanky and dirty that place was, I was like, this is nice. I'm going to stay here.
Yeah. Real quick on that, people listening, watching this, that are going to listen to and watch this, wear deodorant. Like, why are we in this world where you don't wear deodorant and you're at a festival?
It's not cool.
It's not. And if you are a single person trying to find a mate or whatever, or a fun time, guess what? Wear some fucking deodorant. Otherwise, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I still don't know why there's not deodorant places that set up shop at festivals and give free samples out.
You know, what they should do is when you walk through that metal detector, they should have sprays of deodorant there. So it's like scamp and you go through.
I mean, I guarantee if Old Spice was there and they were giving out the little like travel sizes or
that'd
whatever.
That'd be awesome.
Why I still to this day, every time I go to a festival, I go to a show, nobody does it.
So you know how Liquid Death is a really stupid product with a great marketing strategy? Let's make like metal deodorant at shows, be like giving it out and everything.
Again, people, we're copywriting this. Don't steal our idea. That's
I
a good
will
idea.
Sue you if I see this pop up somewhere. This is me and James's idea.
Boom, we got it. I've been
retired
saying
mosher deodorant. Like, hey, yes. You're old. Accept it.
Or you're stinky. Put this shit on. Right. Stop freaking gassing everybody by you walk by with your BO.
The logo will be your face just being like,
yeah. Screenshot it.
This is honestly a really good idea. Like a metal deodorant thing at shows, like passing out, just like, hey, do that.
Become like a sponsor of shows, sponsor of bands, and like,
yeah.
Go to shows and throw them out and be like, hey, dude, you look like you stink, and just throw somebody deodorant.
I'm going to do Wyatt's metal deodorant and you do retired Mosher deodorant, and then we'll compete against each other. And,
Okay. Well, okay,
we'll beef with each other online.
But it'll be the same company, but that'll be the gimmick is we're beefing with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
$1 million idea right there. Let's go. No, man. Yeah, but Milwaukee was great again. It's a very, not hectic. Hectic isn't the right word I want to use here, but it's a very busy festival, but it's fun. It's
like, it's easy, but like extreme at the same time. Like I was saying, if you want to, you can go in every mosh pit and have a fucking insane time, but you can also easily see every band and not kill yourself doing it. And get around pretty well. And that's what I really like about it too. It takes a second to get between bands, like unless you know it's a really big popular one, but it's super easy to get around. It feels like a good time of hanging out and seeing a bunch of bands. It doesn't feel like, all right, I'm marching through the World War I trenches of Germany just to get to the fucking stage. It's like, oh, I got a drink and now that band's on. Let's go over there.
Yeah, that's another thing about the one-day festivals is like the stages are so far apart from one another. And obviously that's understandable because of sound issues. But Milwaukee doesn't have that because every stage is in its own room and it doesn't affect the other stages.
Not at all. There's two of them that are like right next door to each other and you don't even notice.
Nope, not at all. Yeah, the first day, Friday, Uwata opening the show. I love that band. Huge.
I said off camera, but I want it recorded that Jamie Josta, if you're listening, try to get Alice Cooper as the headliner for Milwaukee Metal Festival.
Please do that. That would be incredible. I know that on your guys' interview, he talked about getting a little bit more diverse lineup following this year. And I feel they did that again. We were talking about power metal. That's kind of what Friday was all about, which I didn't see any of those bands, and that's fine. But except for Doro.
Yeah, I did. I watched Hammerfall, Camelot, and Blind Guardian. As more of a power metal fan, I've never really got into Hammerfall. They've always been really generic and cheesy to me. But being there in the crowd was fun. Like being in the photo pit, they were full of energy and the crowd was singing every song. So it's hard to like not get into it at least a little bit with that. But they're still not a band that I'd really listen to much my own. Camelot were fucking fantastic. I love that band. They actually had a big show. Like they took up the whole ballroom stage and had the like those fog machines and shit. So I liked that they felt like almost a headliner status of just taking up the whole space and really big epic sound. Blind Guardian, I've seen several times this year even. I used to be fucking obsessed with them when I was a teenager, getting into like fantasy and Lord of the Rings. I was obsessed with Blind Guardian. Now they are nostalgic for me, where I like their older stuff that I grew up with, but I don't really care much about anything else. This show at Milwaukee was kind of weird. They played for about an hour, maybe even a little bit less, which for them is kind of rushed. And then they did play a bunch of songs that they normally do, but they skipped quite a few like really big ones that get the crowd into it. And then replace them with some newer songs that aren't as well known. And then did you notice in the ballroom how the vocals sounded like they're very cavernous, like, at least for like the power metal bands, it was really distracting because it's more of a clear voice. It felt like a far away echo. I feel like death metal, it almost makes it better because it's probably echoes and thunders more. But for Blind Guardian, it's like, it was kind of hard to even make out what he was saying at times, just because of the mic. And at one point, they're not a band that has much of like a stage show. They really just stand there and perform. But it's when they're doing good, it's the magic of it that makes it so powerful. But between songs, their singer Hansi was talking, and he said something like, "We're a very expensive band." He said pretty much those words. And I happen to know that that's true. And I thought that was a really weird thing to say. And I said that on my podcast and people were commenting like, he did say that and it was weird.
Why would you say that? We're expensive. You know how much money it costs to get us here? Like, come on, dude, shut up.
Yeah, like, okay. And
yeah, right. Again, I didn't.
But I like that they added new types of music, and then he was saying in our interview that he might want to try to get like some punk bands too.
I mean, there's, you know, they Municipal Waste is arguably like the band that so brings good. The punk and metal community together. Like everybody's like, there's two bands for me that always I know punks always love. It's Municipal Waste and Napalm Death.
Yeah,
and metalheads like those two bands. Grindcore is very much punk leaning. So I figured I would say if they had more grindcore, that would be like the early way to kind of like bridge the gap and then to get punk bands in there. But I feel if you did both, I think it would go over pretty well.
Yeah, totally. I think depending on what bands would be sweet. And then he was saying that he wants to try to get Heaven Shall Burn. I think he said Breaches of Blood and some other bands. Like,
if he gets Heaven Shall Burn, that's an instant buy for me. I'm buying those tickets. Like, I've been, they are a bucket list band for me. They never play in the US. I've been, if they were announced for 70K, I would go.
Absolutely.
It's hands down. That band is incredible. They never play the States for a very big reason of their name, and they don't need to because they're huge in Europe, and I totally get it. And people hate the USA, which I also totally get. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Friday was great. apart from the, you know, tons of power metal.
But Saturday was fucking nuts.
Saturday was nuts. I mean, Internal Bleeding, Devourment, Skinless, Soylent Green, Terrorizer, Dead to All, Municipal Waste, and then Possessed. I didn't see Hatebreed, obviously.
I wanted to. I felt so bad because, like, I was planning on watching them, and then because the schedules were getting delayed, I think at one point I was outside eating, and I checked my phone, and Hatebreed was, like, almost over, and I was like, oh, fuck. Damn it.
Yeah, I know. Again, Jamie, if you are listening, sorry. I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I love what you do. Hats off to you, sir. But I don't like Hatebreed. So didn't see them. Sorry. Yeah, it is what it is. But then, you know, Deicide and then Testament. And then, Catatonia, you know.
I did not watch Catatonia. I watched Belushi Speedball and Mr. Bungle.
There you go.
I forgot during the Misfits yesterday that Dave Lombardo plays with them. I was like, oh, I just saw you in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right. When he said Dave Lombardo, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Like, she was like, what? I was like, oh, he used to drum for Slayer.
We saw him with Bungle.
There you go. Yeah, and then Sunday. Sunday was a little bit lighter, but, you know, Casket Robbery, Exhumed, Atheist.
Exhumed were great.
Alluvial. Death to All again, Gatekeeper is always great. Lacuna Coil is always great.
They were great. I really liked Lacuna Coil because I only saw them at Sick New World last year, which, you know, was a fuck up. So I wanted to see a full good performance of theirs, and I really liked it.
Yeah. Creeping Death, I didn't get to see. The only thing that bums me out is that stage, the bar stage is so small, and it's so claustrophobic in there when bands are playing. And Sunday they had like Alluvial, Creeping Death, and I was like, man, I really want to see those bands, but I don't want to suffocate in that little room.
Yeah.
So I just stood outside and watched them, and I was like, I'm just gonna hang out here and catch a little bit of that. But then In Flames, and then you saw Slaughter to Prevail. I did not.
They were good. Like, I'm not a deathcore fan at all. And I just wanted to see how it was. And everyone thinks, or a lot of the internet thinks, that Alex Terrible's controversial and problematic. So I'm like, cool, I want to watch. But
why? What do you do?
They do fucking claims that he's transphobic or Nazi or, you know, a white guy who's strong, so people don't like him. It's internet retards being internet retards. But so I was curious to see how they were going to do, especially because they were headlining. The last night of this festival has like legendary bands on it. So I want to see how the crowd was going to respond to it and how they would, because it's pretty big shoes to fill. And I thought that like they did good. I enjoyed their set. They were like really heavy and fresh. Their fans were there and really excited for them. And I thought that was cool. Like in the front row were a bunch of like younger fans, a lot of females, really excited. I thought that was cool. They had a pretty big size crowd, but I think bands like Testament and Overkill probably had a bit more. They seem kind of like the headliners.
Yeah.
But like they were good. I like if they're playing shows I'm at, I definitely will watch Slaughter to Prevail again. But I don't know if I really would listen to them on my own that much. But I'm not we're old, so we don't listen to deathcore.
Yeah, that's true. It's not my dislike for it is not as steep as power metal, but I'm also not really a big deathcore fan. I do like some deathcore bands, just not a lot of them. I've seen Slaughter to Prevail. They played at Summer Slaughter, 2014 or 15. I can't remember when it was. And they're cool. Like their songs are heavy. But I'm just not like we were tired, and I was like, I'm good. I'd rather just go back to the Airbnb and go to sleep.
Like we said, you get to the point where like, all right, we're leaving for the last song. Fuck it.
Yeah. It's funny, like that was like the entire festival. We didn't really see the headliners. So I was like, yeah, it's okay. I don't need to see Blind Guardian. I really don't need to see Blind Guardian. I saw the Triple Bell, you know, I've seen him before, and I'm like, nah, that's okay. And then Mr. Bungle, that's fine. I've seen them before. I didn't need to see them. And I know it's weird. Like normally I do catch at least some of the headliner, but I was like, nah, I'll just go back to the Airbnb and get some rest.
Like we said, you're old and you hate fun. You'd rather go to the Airbnb and just listen to elephants stomp around upstairs than fucking watch the headliners.
That probably wouldn't have been the case if what happened when we first got there didn't happen. I'll just touch on it here. I'm sure you brought it up. I haven't watched your video. Did you bring it up?
Yeah, I did immediately. I said I hope they get leprosy.
I will echo that sentiment and bring it up again. But the Airbnb host who booked our trip, or we booked our trip with, canceled the moment we landed, and sent us into a half a day tizzy trying to find another place. It was very annoying. It was very inconvenient. Airbnb was kind of being a dick about it, but they kind of made good on it. We still had to pay a little bit extra. Yeah, it is.
They didn't just cancel the last minute. They were a scam. Like, I went to that house. It looked abandoned.
Yeah, so I don't know. And it sucked, too, because right when we landed, Nat pulled up a review, and it said the same exact thing that happened to us. I was like, shit. And I was like, no, it'll probably be okay. It wasn't. They canceled on us. We landed at like 10:30 in Milwaukee, and then we were just sitting there at the airport trying to figure out what was going on. She was on the phone with Airbnb customer service. And it's funny, I posted about it on 70K, the forum, or on the Facebook page, rather. And everybody was talking about how they've had similar issues. And I've never had this issue happen with
Airbnb. I've never had a problem with Airbnb like that.
Yeah. And other people were recommending like Vrbo and these other ones, because they were saying that this has happened to somebody they know or themselves personally. And I was like, whoa, that's weird, because this has never happened. We've used Airbnb a ton of times and never had any issues ever. This is the first time ever. So
same. I've been using it for years and haven't had an issue.
Yeah, I'm not going to use this one isolated incident to not make me want to book through Airbnb, but it was a clusterfuck. It really sucked. It kind of, you know, it ruined that first day. We had a whole plan. We were going to go explore, walk around, but we were exhausted. We finally got to the Airbnb, the new Airbnb we got, and we passed out.
And it sucked because that original one was within walking distance of the venue, and then this new one was like a 10-minute Uber ride away.
It was. I know. Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. I mean, that's the cost of traveling, I guess. Sometimes you, and then, and. So the last flight, they ran out of space. So they made Natalie and Myra check their roller bag.
Oh, shit.
Natalie's bag got sent to San Francisco. And then it comes back damaged. It's
really
damaged. It's damaged. It's she can't use it anymore. That's how damaged it is. And so she contacts, don't know, but like the side of it was cracked, and then there was a big dent in it. Like, they were fucking playing soccer with it.
Yeah.
It
was, they probably fucking were.
And so it got sent to San Francisco, and then back here, they dropped it off. And so she contacted Delta, I want to say it was, that we flew through. And normally we never have issues with them, like ever. Again, it was just a really perfect storm of bullshit.
Yeah.
But she contacted them, and they gave her a free like $500 bag in exchange. Like, they gave her a free bag. It's not her coffin bag, which she loved to death, but they at least made good and gave her a free new bag that's like super durable, and it's nice, it's fancy, but still it's not her bag.
That's fucking shitty.
I know, dude. So I was like, she was like, oh my god, I can't believe this, but this is not on you, Josta. It's not on Milwaukee at all. Milwaukee was amazing regardless.
How dare you, Jamie Josta, have Delta damage my girlfriend's luggage?
First you book all this fucking power metal, then
I'm never coming back. Fuck this.
Never coming in. Now, not at all. I love Milwaukee. Please get Heaven Shall Burn, please get Alice Cooper, and we'll definitely come back.
I think that would be fucking awesome.
Keep doing what you're doing. I like the mixture. I like that you're trying new things. I like your justification for trying new things. I'm sorry it didn't work on me, because I just don't like power metal. But I totally respect what you're doing and appreciate it. And keep doing that. Hopefully there can be like, you know, some more punk bands being added or whatever. But
yeah, that's what I really like about Milwaukee Metal Fest, is that you can tell he's passionate about doing it. It's not just a money grab. Let's do a festival and just yank up prices to rip money off of fans or anything. Like, it's put on by someone who wants to see those bands and wants to have a good time there and respects the scene and everything. So that's what makes me really dig it too. Even if water is like $4 and not free. Water's free in Las Vegas and in, where were we last night? Pomona, but not free in Milwaukee.
Well, It's got to be free in Vegas because it's 100 goddamn degrees there all the time. So you need water to little die.
It should be free in Milwaukee because it's poisoned water.
That's true. But no, it was a good lineup. It was very fun. It was great again. Keep doing it. We'll keep coming back.
Yeah, I'm super stoked that it's a thing. That like it's fairly easy to get to, even for us. Especially now, flying into Chicago and taking train was pretty smooth and a lot cheaper, at least for when I booked it. But it's pretty easy to get to, and it like you can't like I keep saying, you can bust your ass going crazy, or you can chill and see a bunch of good bands and not kill yourself doing it. I'm really stoked for it.
Yeah, the way that it's set up, you don't have to freaking sprint across, you know, you have to go a quarter mile just to get to any stage. And the bands have been great. The
cut out, it's froze.
Connection issues. I know, I was like, connection issues. Connection issues. Connection issues. Okay, I think it's working now. Connection issues. DIY podcast with connection issues.
Open the video with that. Just put that at the very beginning.
Connection issues. Yeah. Anyway, Milwaukee's great. I love the area. I love the venue that it's at, or venues. It's all in one building. The
people there are really good. Like, everybody I meet is really friendly and really cool.
Yep. Fantastic area. The Uber drivers are nice. The food's great. The beer is great. I'm just a big fan of it. I hope next year is even better, even bigger. I hope it keeps going for years on end. You know, I really, like I said, after the interview, it was really cool. His getting insight and inside information about how it happened and why he did this and his goals for it. And again, if you're watching this, Jasta, you know, hats off to you, because I feel that this could be one of the more premier festivals, if you will, moving forward, just in the direction it's already gone, and the price too. We didn't really bring that up. So we talked about No Values was $200. That was for one day. This festival is $400 for 3 days. So
was it that? I want to say it's like, I don't remember. Well, I didn't pay for it, so never mind. How much did you pay for it?
It was like $400 because we got the balcony seats too. Because again,
oh right, well, down. But that's also kind of like the VIP one, ish.
It's not the VIP one, but it's the step below that.
So. Yeah. But still, yeah, for 3 days. I mean, and that included the pre-party day. You just didn't go to it, but you could have if you wanted to. But
I could have if I wanted to, but we were exhausted and we didn't want to do that because of what happened.
I don't blame you.
We were like, nah, dude, we just want to go back to the Airbnb to finally get an Airbnb and go sleep for a little bit.
You'd been up for like a day at that point.
Well, yeah, because we took the red eye. So we left LAX at like 12 and then we got to Milwaukee at 10:30 because we had a layover in Minneapolis. And then, so we're already like, I don't really sleep that well on planes. I don't sleep that well, period. But on planes, it's even worse.
You don't sleep at all.
Yeah. Right. And so we were exhausted. Everybody was exhausted. We were, you know, tired. We just got, we got food finally, but then we were like, dude, we just want to lay down, caught a good nap. And then, yeah, we just went to the tiki bar out there.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Yep. But again, Milwaukee was great. No Values was great. Two great festivals. Now it's time to take a break and just go to smaller shows.
For you, I'm playing a festival next month.
Oh shit, it's already next month.
Yeah, we got to book our flights and everything. But yeah, we're playing Tolminator in Slovenia, my first European festival playing. Because I've been playing to a lot, but I get to be on stage. It's going to be fucking nuts. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. I'm so happy you guys are doing that. How's the crowdfunding going for that?
It's going all right. We haven't met our goal like we were hoping for, but we've still made people still donated a good amount to where we're going to be using it for like when we're there needing food or like travel stuff. Or we got a good amount to like make sure we're not gonna starve or really like suffer while we're out there. But yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the flight at all. Because doing these fucking like 6-hour flights to Florida, I'm like, this fucking sucks. I'm not looking forward to 14 fucking hours.
Yeah, I've been on a plane for 21.
Yep.
So yeah, that does suck. I don't like it either. I feel for you on that, but that's cool. Is the crowdfunding still up?
Yeah, it's still going. So if anyone wants to donate, we'd very much appreciate it. If you want to, don't have to. You could also just check out our music if you like on the Spotify's. It's weird that I have music out there now. I never had it before, so it's cool.
There you go. Check it out. Check it out. Check out Dark Sense. That I can't even talk right now.
Doesn't even know my band name. That's how much he hates fun. Doesn't even know
the band name. Dark Insanity on Bandcamp. I believe you can buy the album there, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can buy the album there. Album.
Yeah, buy the album on Bandcamp. Go listen to it on Spotify. Go check out their Instagram page. Donate if you can. Fuck Starbucks. Take that $5 and go donate it to get them to Europe. Do that, please, people.
That would be awesome.
And then next year, Jamie Josta, book them too as well.
We would definitely do it.
I'm yeah, no absolutely. Say. Yeah. They just released their first EP and it's fantastic. Please go check it out. It's really good. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of what Wyatt's done in metal so far already. You know, I'm glad that you found your footing with the band now, and now you guys are playing Tolmanator, and that's so cool. I'm very jealous because you're going to be backstage with some absolutely killer bands. So, you know, please meet everybody. I have a buddy that's an MMA fighter, and he has a big behemoth tattoo on his stomach, and now he's friends with Nurgle. He trained Nurgle when they came out to Georgia, where he used to live, and like Nurgle texts him still. So that's go meet Nurgle, be friends with him.
And I've met Nurgle before. He's cool.
And then, well, cool. And then get me into shows.
That's as soon as the band starts to make it, you're like, hey, put me on the guest list.
Yes. Hey, you know, that's, you know, there you go. That's all I want. But we'll wrap it up here. Yeah, please go check out Dark Insanity. They're fantastic. Like I said, the EP is great. Go donate if you guys can. Please get them to Tolmanator. Help them out a little bit. Go buy their EP. Yeah, man, go check out Wyatt's Metal on Instagram. He's on there too. He's got a really big YouTube. I'm plugging your stuff for you. You don't have to do it. I'll do it. Go check out his YouTube channel. It's fantastic. That's where he interviewed Josta, and he makes really funny, sarcastic metal reviews that piss a lot of people off, and it's great.
Yeah, they do. I still get hate comments from videos for like over a year ago.
It's fine. That's the internet. People are gonna hate on you. They're gonna hate on me too, and I don't care. Whatever, bring it. I don't give a shit.
You just gotta turn it into jokes. You gotta treat it like you're a heckler at a comedy show.
Yeah, I've been in digital print for 5 years, and yeah. I've gotten hate for some pretty ridiculous shit. So I'm used to it at this point. I don't care. You're not gonna agree with everything I say. You're not gonna agree with everything I write. That's just life. But if you like this podcast, please go do me a favor and go check it out. Check out my Instagram at Retired Monster Pod. Go give me a follow, a like, whatever. Tell me some bands I need to be listening to. I don't know. Do that. Don't do that. Whatever. Like, subscribe. Do all the fucking shit that you got to do so I can feed my addiction of attention. No, I'm kidding. But thank you, Wyatt, for coming on again.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, man. Happy to anytime, man.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll probably do another one after next month when you get back, because I want to hear all about
Tolmanator. Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to do a Tolmanator wrap up or whatever. I won't be there, but I want to hear all about it, because I'm sure you're going to come back with some pretty crazy stories.
Oh, yeah. It'll film everything and try to make like a couple of videos out of it and everything too. But
hell yeah,
it's going to be good. But yeah, thanks for having me, man. It's awesome. Good concert festival veteran pals. Like, we've been to so many wars together at this point.
I know we have, and we're gonna keep doing it, and we're gonna keep complaining about how we're tired and we don't want to go to shows, but we're gonna keep going to shows.
And we're gonna be like, fuck, this is hard, I'm tired. Be like, all right, we'll go to the next one.
All right, when's the next one? Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for tuning in, appreciate it. Retired Monster Pod on Instagram, Wyatt's Metal on Instagram, on YouTube, Retired Monster Podcast on YouTube as well. Stay metal. Fuck yeah.
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 And now you gotta click the end recording button.
End recording.